Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah Sin.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 286. I'm Josiah Sat4, the villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. You guys heard nothing. So let's start it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 186, we entitled Hashtag Secret Societies. At Mem the Beaner and at 4, the villain play catch-up hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Drop shout-outs, then go into what the fuck news. Hero, sports bar customer, fatally shoots gunman who'd just killed employee. Just trip out on that headline already. We dissected that one. Dude walks into a bar, shoots the bartender, and then one of the patrons jacked homeboy up, like fatally shot homeboy that just came in, the gunman. It was nuts. We hit interesting news, top 10 secret organizations, then go into comic talk, comic news, R-rated Spawn film, draft is done, reveals Todd McFarlane, Sony's Master of the Universe lands 2019 release date, we'll talk about that because I have been. Anne Rice Vampire Chronicles lands TV deal. I love Anne Rice and the Vampire Chronicles. I did enjoy. HBO developing Game of Thrones spinoffs. I saw the last episode of Game of Thrones. I was unimpressed. Granted, it was only one episode and it was the last episode. Marvel Studios has no plans for R-rated film. Logan, black and white theatrical release. Netflix Defenders trailer. Entertainment Magazine. Inhumans picture revealed. Yeah, we were bashing that one for a while. Inhumans was a show and an IMAX release that was terrible that I still haven't seen. It was supposed to be a big deal because the Inhumans are kind of a big deal in the Marvel Universe that nobody knows about. If you don't, I mean, if you watch the movies, you don't know who they are. And if you know comic books, you know who they are. Let's see, we hit DC, little DC Comics talk and news, but finally Rock Comic Reviews, Black Bolt number 1, which he is an Inhuman, Batman number 22, Secret Empire number 1, and Nova number 6, which was Book of the Week. Alright guys, I do have bullet points like always. This is going to be a long show, I have a feeling it's just one of those vibes. Mainly because of my comic review, and I hope I do it justice, and I hope you guys enjoy it. If you guys like the show and have liked the show so far, I'm at For the Villain on Twitter. You can download the Comic Syndicate podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast, Podchaser, CastBox, and now on Spotify. So, guys, do me a huge favor. If you guys are liking the show, share it with like-minded individuals, and let's create something a little more. This was interesting feedback. But first point I'm going to hit is going to be that collaborations, I guess, is one of my bullet points. And new plugs. This one was an idea I got. And it's going to be one of those things, one of two things can possibly, both could possibly happen. But ask other podcasts to exchange commercials for the back. For I guess for the lack of a better term. But yeah, just hit up other shows for a commercial. Like I'll go into it right now. Just so I can plug other shows on here and drops. Like I need a break sometimes or I gotta edit and it's like I need to toss in a filler or something is the way my mind thinks. But I'm giving other podcasts the opportunity to plug their podcast as well on here, and it's just more basic, just helping out more people get exposure to their podcast and just the podcast community in general. So when we started this in 2013, and we weren't expecting a lot, we got a lot of cool feedback, a lot of bad feedback, but a lot of good feedback. So just to help out other podcasts now grow would be cool, and it's something I really want to do for other podcasts. So the 2OC boys, I don't think they need my help, but they're a great podcast. I know these two guys. I was on Out of the Blank, and Robbie Robertson interviewed me on his podcast. I still need to try to get him on my show here, the Matt's Not Here podcast. You know, like, send them a commercial, literally, and MP3, and have them send me MP3s, and just be like, whatever commercial they want to write or sell, like, I can toss them on, again, not asking for a favor or anything, but just to get more of an exposure for them. So, I don't know, just a weird thought, but as long, I don't even want to see, as long as they play my commercial on theirs, they don't have to, and I'm not asking them, but I think it'd be a kind of a cool collaboration deal. Just one of those weird, crazy thoughts that goes through my head. Next piece of bullet point is going to be, I haven't done this in a long time, but questions. So these questions I've actually received throughout the week that I have not been able to get to or didn't have the time to get through throughout this past week. And don't ever think, guys, that if you guys hit me up on the side, DM, text, anything, message on any social media aspect, don't think I don't listen. I'm a busy cat. I do work a lot. It's just sometimes I'm unable to get to them because I'm busy or I'm driving or I got to drive to the next place or I'm legit writing or reading and I don't want to be, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird, but you guys have to understand that about me. But these are great old friends of the show for the most part. And I consider my listeners, my audience, like I hate using the word fans because it sounds extremely pretentious and that's not my character at all. That's not Josias. So I always look at our listeners as listeners and audience. And honestly, I look at you guys as friends. You guys can shoot the shit with me on the side and bust my balls about shit. And I totally understand that. But let's go through just these questions real quick because these ones were interesting. So old time listener, long time listener, Lynn, did you and the podcast across the pond, I don't know, Nerdbong? Something like that. Did you guys have a falling out? Okay, so Lynn, great question. I know I've been busy, so I haven't been able to message you back or give you an answer on that. So might as well address it now since this is, yeah, the best place to do it. Nerdbong was a network. Let's see, Simon, and G Babblefish, dope fucking cats. So, they are from England, straight up. They heard our podcast at the time and about 15 shows up. I don't know how long they were listening. It's like, you guys sound really good. You guys are funny. You guys are knowledgeable. Do you guys want to jump on? And back then for us, it was like, you guys aren't fucking around with us. It's like, no, you guys are good. So, and the only thing, it was always a mutual thing, like, okay, if you guys don't mind, like, we're going to give you the information to the website, and you guys are free as long as you guys can keep tossing up reviews or pictures or bios, links, stuff like that. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. So we're a part of this network, and we're helping build, or helping build, I guess, this network to become something more and bigger. Now, this was when we started in 2013. We got that traction right off the bat, and people were hitting us up like, okay, cool, we want you on our network type of deal. Nerdbong was nothing but great to us. Like, honestly, those podcasts. So we got Simon, who's Dead Vinyl on Twitter, and Babblefish, G, is on Twitter as well. Very cool cats. I still talk to them, Lynn. They're still great cats that they invited us on. And honestly, and Simon and I did talk a lot. It wasn't a falling out at all. They had their Baked English podcast. And it's one of those things where life gets in the way. And talking to Simon on this side, he's like, I gotta close down the Nerdbong network. Like, you can still record, you know, thanks. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of time. It was a lot of effort. It was a lot of money. I've never started a network or attempted to. Like, I'm busy enough as it is. So to launch a network and to put that much time that I already don't have in my life, completely, totally respect. And I always understand that. So there were a bunch of podcasts. It was the Comic Syndicate. It was the Baked English podcast. The Couch Commandos. Kicking the Pokeballs, which Piggy Mouth is now, onto different endeavors. Like, she's a cam girl. She's a porn star now, I guess. I don't know. It's weird where your lives take you. And everyone's doing their own thing now. And every time we would chat, it's like, dude, you guys got to make a trip out here to London. You guys can chill and we'll take you to the pubs and let's just fucking record something like that. Now, because London is 8 hours time difference, it was always hard for us to be on any type of in sync time schedule to record together. Let's say we record at 8 a.m, it's already 5 for them. So it was just a clusterfuck of time scheduling. Nothing but mad props, ups, and respect to not just the Nerdabong crew, but to Simon, to G. Again, we still chat. I still follow them. We're friends on Facebook. Like, it's cool to chat with them. And again, I'm working more than I was back then on so many more levels where I don't have a lot of time to even reach out to my friends and even hang out with my family. Like, I know it sucks and it sounds fucked up. And the more I think about it, I know it sucks. And I know, Josias, you do work a lot. My friends and family do understand me. Like, if you know me, you know me. And it's just one of those odd things about me. But Lynn, that was a great question. And to text that information out would have been a bitch. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, there's no way I'm going to have time to text this much information. I would always prefer talking things out. And that's just the way I like to do it. I mean, granted, I'm a writer, but I don't want to be on my phone texting like a whole fucking novel either. All right, next question is going to be from Lupa. Asked a great question as well. So she hit us up on Facebook. Is it all just talk or a fact? And she sent a link. The link was pretty much AT&T is closing DC Comics if 5G fails, says Ethan Van Sciver. Okay, this one was an interesting link. A lot of things are happening in DC and DC Comics, and some news came out that I'm going to drop in comic news. But Lupe, the long and short of it is, I don't know, dude. It almost looked like clickbait. And the article, to summarize it real quick, is it's the fifth generation, apparently, of DC Comics. So all the stories that are going on, all the crises that have happened, I know it sounds terrible to say, but all the crises that happened have been a big changing point and moving point for DC Comics. And apparently there's another one that's going to happen soon. And if it does bad, the rumor is that DC Comics is going to close the door, or AT&T, because they bought out DC Comics, is going to be like, you know what, you guys aren't a valid commodity anymore. Like, no one's buying your shit, which is not really a factor. Like, Batman is still a top-selling title, and the artists and writers on DC Comics and Marvel Comics, Image Comics, IDW, so many writers and so many artists, like, everyone's making their living as well. Lupe, I think this is bullshit. But again, the news I have later on in the show, pay attention. And then if you got more questions, hit me up on the side. But just to warn you, I'm probably not going to be able to get back to you anytime soon unless I have extreme downtime. And a lot of people I don't have a lot of downtime. Last one, and I haven't done these in a long time, so shout outs to you guys. And this one was dope. And this one came from Andrew Lewis. I follow him on Facebook. We follow each other on Facebook. We follow each other on Twitter and on Instagram. Now, I believe his boy, Danny Courageous, was the first cat I met when we first started the show. So, cool cat. And met Andrew through his friend on Twitter. And I'm like, these cats are cool. Again, when I start talking to you guys, I'm just like you guys. I don't want to sell myself anything less than I'm 100% Josias all the time. So I consider you guys friends, and I'm just a friend that's never around, unfortunately. But to have Andrew jump back on as an old listener, and I don't know when he jumped off or was unable to listen anymore, but for him to jump on again and so enthused and stoked about it, like, I missed you cats. I missed chatting with you cats, but I do care about you guys. I hope all you guys are well. I hope Danny is well, dude. I catch his posts every now and then, in his family, and to see pictures of that. Again, life always gets in the way, and I understand and always respect it. But I just want to thank you, dude. Andrew, like, you sent me a DM on Twitter that was, honestly, for everyone. Like, he sent me a very kind, very sweet, beautiful text message or DM, and he didn't have to go out of his way to do it, but it just made me feel good. Like, I don't need validation from anyone. Like, you guys, as long as you guys give me a thumbs up or share on Twitter, I'm completely cool with that. You guys don't have to do anything, even though I ask, like, share the podcast more than anything. Any new listeners, like, let me know how you listen, on what podcast site. Tell me it's from the comicsyndicate.podbean.com, which is the home of the Comic Syndicate. Like, that's my home, where that's where my baby thrives at. But I see numbers across the board from every podcast site now. So it's really cool. Again, no validation, but just share the podcast if you guys like it. And I'll give you guys shout outs like this again. It's a lot of work. It's a little bit more work, but, yeah, it's just fun to give it back to you guys too. Like, it belongs to you guys as well. So share it and, you know, like it and rate us and all those cheesy things that every podcast, it appears, sucks people's dick for and gives you cheesy commercials for. But, again, just Andrew gave me some dope fucking, this dope DM, and hopefully I can share news about that soon. But it's just dope and beautiful, and I loved it. We're not in a rush. I'm not in a rush at all, Lewis, so completely take your time. And, yeah, I would love to talk about that on air sometime. So that's about it. Just, again, please drop a review for the Comic Syndicate on any podcast app you listen to. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify, however you guys do listen. And if you guys are inclined, you guys heard a different type of intro today. You guys heard nothing. I want real, like, get in trouble for that shit. But, yeah, share the podcast. And, yeah, that's about it. I'm sorry, Facebook. I'm so jumbled. I had a rough day at the office. I needed time to unwind. And this is my unwind time. So, all right, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Shola Mighty Duena, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. Woo!
All right, guys, I'm back with some comic talk. First one is going to be very interesting, and I don't know how I feel about this. I saw the movie Parasite, and I work at a theater, did a second job, so I'm able to get movies for free. I saw a bunch of the nominated movies, Oscar movies, and it's just something I like to do. I'm a film guy. I'm a film nerd, composition artists, writers. I'm just a fucking nerd. Like, everything intrigues me. This one's going to be Parasite TV show on HBO. Could actually tarnish the film, is the article. Bong Joon-ho is developing an Americanized version of his film, Parasite, as a miniseries for HBO. The movie was really great. I loved it. I'm glad and happy that it won Movie of the Year. I personally would have given it to Ford versus Ferrari, Parasite, 1917. Those were the top three movies. I'm glad Joker didn't win, because, again, everyone gives me shit. Joker was not a good movie. Joaquin Phoenix for Actor of the Year, yeah. Did he out-act Christian Bale? You guys can all eat a cock if you think he did so great. Anyways, listen to an old podcast, and I'll give you that review. Next one's going to be Candyman reveals first trailer release date with new teaser. So it's a remake. The man behind this one is going to be Jordan Peele. He's been on a tangent with his horror movie vibes. I like his vision. So I'm kind of down with it. Yeah, I'm completely cool with that. Next one's going to be Greg Berlanti's Little Shop of Horrors looks to recruit a pair of Avengers. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Avengers Endgame alums Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson are in talks to play key roles in Greg Berlanti's Little Shop of Horror remake, and I believe Edgar Edgerton? I forget his name. Howard. That dude who played, I was going to say Paul McCartney, who played Phil Collins. No, the little penguin dude. Phil Collins. Fuck, Phil Collins. Okay, psych, that dude. I don't know why I drew a blank. Anyways, guys, I loved the original movie. Granted, when I saw it as a kid, I'm like, I'm not that much into musicals, but the concept was interesting and odd and fun and funny. And honestly, kind of one of those odd, spooky movies where it's like, oh, I don't know if I like this, but I kind of did. Anyways, that's going to be remade. Greg Berlanti is the dude who's in charge of about 90% of the CW superhero shows. So Arrow, Flash, all those. He's behind that. Next one's going to be Indiana Jones 5. This one was interesting. Logan director James Mangold may take over from Spielberg. James Mangold, who directed Logan, is reportedly in early talks to replace Steven Spielberg as the director of Indiana Jones 5. According to Deadline. Okay, so they're still in talks. Do I trust Steven Spielberg anymore to make a good movie? The Crystal Skull was terrible. And I did like, I love all the Indiana Jones movies, but The Temple of Doom I loved, but the last one with Homeboy was dope, his dad. My gosh, why am I drawing a blank? Anyways, it might be dope to get that help from, you know, from James Mangold. He did a great job on Logan. So I'm curious to see. Hopefully it goes through. Next one is going to be Snake Eyes Star celebrates filming wrap with one last photo. So Snake Eyes is a spinoff of G.I. Joe. It's pretty much his origin story. These are properties that I grew up with. So the G.I. Joe, I know G.I. Joe. I know Transformers. I know He-Man, Masters of the Universe. I know She-Ra. Oh my god, I know the Smurfs. What is it I grew up with? Thundercats, Silver Hawks, fucking Rainbow Bright, Strawberry Shortcake. Like, I mean, I have sisters. I have an older sister, so for when she would watch those shows, it's like, you know what? Yeah, you know, and as a kid, you're going to watch anything. So, curious about that, although I haven't seen any of the G.I. Joe movies, and I know why. It's what's his face? Michael Bay, who fucked it up. Anyways. Next one is going to be old school news for me, but beautiful. Transformers animated prequel, War for Cybertron, drops first trailer. All right, guys, I'm a huge fan of Transformers. Like, give me the Decepticons all fucking day. Give me Megatron, give me Galvatron, give me Soundwave, Shockwave, Devastator, the Constructicons. Like, I just love those characters. If you guys are interested, they did drop a prequel. It's going to drop. There has been no release date yet announced, but it's worth checking out, guys. Transformers animated prequel, War for Cybertron. Let me know what you guys think about it if you guys are Transformers fans. Next one's going to be from DC. This one, I have to thank the 2OC boys, Alan in particular, for this one. The Batman set photos offer better look at Batsuit and Batcycle. Alan, that was fucking hysterical. He found a video of the stuntman, obviously, is him, someone in a bat suit, riding the bat cycle. And there's someone next to him. They're both suited up and helmeted up. But it was funny because I guess as they're cutting the wrap, the road was slippery and Batman eats shit. And not terrible. Like, he doesn't get in a bad crash. It's just he loses his steering, and it's weird, and it's funny, and it's like, okay, cool, but I don't know, it was just funny, but the set pictures that I've seen do look good to me. DC cancels Meet the Publishers panel for C2E2. All right, Lupa, if you're still listening, dude, the C2E2 full panel schedule for this weekend reveals the DC Meet the Publishers panel has been canceled. Okay, so the publishers were initially, okay, the editors were Jim Lee and this man in particular, Dan DiDio, no longer DC's co-publisher. The original report of Dan DiDio's departure came from Hollywood Reporter, which did not offer additional details about the circumstances of his departure. Several other outlets later collaborated with website claims DiDio became vice president editorial at DC in 2002. He and one of my favorite artists of all time, Jim Lee, are the co-publishers and they're in charge. And it's almost like he got fired or they let him go. Like, those details are still unclear. And Lupa, if you want to add that to that rumor mill thing, I don't know. And the C2E2 is a big thing. Like, Jim Lee could still go out there and take some artist writers, like take Scott Snyder with you, take Tom King with you, you know, take some of your fucking stud artists, and everyone loves you that knows your art anyways. Like, you can still have a panel. But again, Lupa, I have no idea, dude. It might be more rumor and hearsay more than anything, because comics, granted, they're brick and mortar. It's honestly just like, it's a dying breed and it does suck. Hence why I do things like this, so people hopefully get interested and can go out and pick it up and check out, search out and find these things. Speaking of people no longer at companies, this is going to be Marvel and Disney on that side. Bob Iger steps down as Disney CEO effective immediately. This one came out yesterday. Name's replacement, Bob Iger has stepped down as CEO of Disney effective immediately, with Bob Chapnick named as his replacement. Iger will assume the role of executive chairman through 2021, while Chapnick, who recently served as chairman of Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products, will immediately step into the CEO role. What does this mean for the future of Disney Marvel? Now, he was Bob Iger in there for so long, he launched some not-so-great Star Wars movies, sequels. The Force Awakens was good. And the last one, she's not a Skywalker. Like, she's not. But it's The Rise of Palpatine. Look, I don't know. And I liked the last one, but it... Okay, look, I'll just end it there. How do you guys feel about it? But the future of Disney and what's going on? Like, Kathleen Kennedy is also not doing a great job. Like, the comic book writing, the novel aspect of the Star Wars world is great. I did enjoy The Mandalorian. So for people, like, how do you guys feel about it? Like, they should have brought more, like, give me more Ahsoka. And I know they're working on the Knights of the Old Republic. If you guys are old school gamers, like I am too, it's a different world. And if they can integrate that somehow, would be dope. Let's see, Red Hulk will make an MCU debut in She-Hulk, Disney Plus series. This one came out last week. I was not able to toss it out. But let's see. Speaking of Star Wars, let's hit that real quick one more time. Star Wars, Exegol film in the works from Slight director and Luke Cage writer. A new Star Wars film reportedly set on the Sith planet of Exegol is in development from director J.D. Dillard and writer Matt Owens. Okay, I love Star Wars. I love the mythos of Star Wars. I love villains. I love the Sith. I love Decepticons. Oh, look, I'm at For the Villain on Twitter for a reason. I'm a huge villain guy. Do I feel the Star Wars is oversaturated? You know what? Kind of, sort of, yeah. Am I over it? No, not really. And if you're going to give me like an Exegol, like Sith planet homeworld, you know what? I might be down for something like that. But these are things that are actually in the works, guys. All right, that's all I got for now. I have a long review. I hope you guys do enjoy it. It's a Marvel Comics title, and this is number one. It's going to be Wolverine number one. Benjamin Percy is going to be the writer. Adam Kubert is the artist. And Frank Martin, who used to color East of West, one of my favorite titles of all time, works on this. So it's number one. It's going to be a longer issue than normal issues. So as opposed to like a 22, 23 page story, I forget how much he got to work with. I think it was like a 55 page. So it's a double sized for sure. But this one I totally enjoyed. This title dropped last week. And like I mentioned last week, I don't necessarily like to spoil titles when they come out. I've been so busy, though, and writing and just writing things and visiting some weird places emotionally for myself, just because it's going to make sense in a few weeks. But this one was one of those things where writing and reading sometimes feels like a drag. And this one, I wasn't even expecting to review it or write up a review for it. But it's one of those stories that every time I review something, is odd. It works out very parallel to something I'm going through in my life where it's like, that's exactly how I feel, or that's, I'm connecting with this title. And this is exactly that story for me. This starts off with actually completely out of the gate, completely nuts, gnarly, and insane. Extremely harsh, as it starts out with a page with a bunch of small panels of what has happened. Each panel now is giving details as the narrative finally starts. So the panels are the smaller pictures, and each panel shows you what's going on. But as you see the page, you see the bigger picture, like pieces of the puzzle. And it's dope to see it. The narrative drops. A single, just small panel shot of an eye. And it starts now, the narrative, somewhere in Alaska. A second panel is James, Logan, Patch, Weapon X, Wolverine. A page or a panel now of a face. Canada, Madripoor, New York, Japan, Krakoa. The third panel now, small little panel jigsaw puzzle, is a torso. As you see an eyeball at first, the face, and the face is Wolverine's face, like blown off. So half of his face, you see his adamantium skeleton, and half of his face, legit skin, everything, still attached. As each panel goes on, though, we see how fucked up he is. Someone, something fucked him up. Literally half his body. His body is healing. He has a great healing factor. I grew up with Wolverine as a kid, so I have love for Wolverine. So now the third panel shows his torso. As we see, like, he's maimed. He's fucked up. Names scramble. Time gets slippery. My brain feels bruised black. The fourth panel now. A body, but a far shot of the full body as we see his full body and, like, you can see the pain he's going through, and it's just agony, and something blew him up, something fucked him up, and it's just he's lying in the snow. I don't know when, where, or even who I am, as it jumps now to the next page. So you turn the page. That is fucked up as we see him now knelt down, and it's cool because each panel, you can tell his body is healing itself. His healing factor, his skin, his muscles regenerating, the muscle tissue, just everything about this art is fucking dope and beautiful, fucked up, gnarly, and gorgeous all at the same time. So you turn the page, and we see him knelt down, freaked out, as we see Jean Grey, Phoenix, Rachel Summers, and Domino's bodies laying dead in the snow. As now we see another panel of his face, torso, and even his expression. And again, guys, I love art. I love artists that they can draw the details like this. And you can see the pain, guilt, expression, sadness in his eyes. And it's dope. And it continues on the narrative. But I know this. I'm an expert on pain. I've been beaten, poisoned, burned, bombed, slashed, stabbed, shot, electrocuted, drowned, been knifed through with veins of metal, and had my bones turned inside out. I love it because everything he's saying is everything that has happened to Wolverine throughout fucking his whole tenure in comics. Like, even my bones getting ripped out, Magneto ripped out his bones in X-Men 25, that Jim Lee drew. Been nuked, steamrolled, crucified, ripped in half, chewed up, and spit out. Again, all legit things that have happened to Wolverine. My body is one big wound, a million scars I carry around inside me. But nothing compares, not even close, to the hurt I feel now. Knowing my friends, my family, are dead at my hands. With this fucked up panel now, again, and look on his face. I couldn't have killed them, but I did. They tried to stop me, but they couldn't. Even Jeannie, but someone survived. And again, these pages, these panels, these spreads are so beautiful. And now we see a single set of footprints that leads off into the snow. Maybe another friend running away from me. Maybe an enemy doing the same. Sleep as he busts out his claws. As he pops his claws, either way, I couldn't be more lost. So I got no choice but to follow.
as the story finally starts now. 5 days ago, Krakoa, as we get this almost scary scenes in panel now with kids, the kids of Krakoa, a bunch of kids playing now. Where are you? Mr. Logan, come out. Come out wherever you are. You mean you still didn't find him? So these kids are just talking, shooting the shit. And it almost looks like Wolverine has gone feral. And I'm like, ah, fuck, he's going to massacre these kids. Come out wherever you are. You mean you still didn't find him? Another kid. He smells pretty bad, so maybe we can find him by all the bad smells. Another little girl. We've been hiding and seeking him forever. I give up already. And then Jean Grey pops up. What if I gave you a hint? The kids are all excited. Yeah, Miss Jean. He hides too hard. And again, I just love the way it's written. Jean tells the kids, you'll have to forgive Logan. He does everything too hard. As it's just a beautiful scene, her using her telepathic abilities. As Logan tells her, don't you do it, Jeannie. Don't you dare. And it's cool because you see all the exclamations and he says, fuck, as he gets yanked out into the open from one of the trees. And it's fucking just dope. Logan says, I had the perfect spot. As the kids now answer, don't say swears. I knew I smelled him back there. We found you. We found you. As the kids now just erupt around him. And they're just happy to see him. Hugging his legs. Like they were legit playing hide and seek. So to see that scene and knowing Wolverine was dope and interesting. And I loved it. It was just a cute scene. Because he loves kids. Sounds terrible. You heard nothing here. Him training Jubilee, him training Kitty Pryde, the youngsters, Laura Kinney, X-23, like he taught these kids how to survive. So to see him kind of give it back again, that's always been Wolverine, Logan. And it's, again, pretty dope just to see these kids hugging him, holding him, just latching onto him. Logan's pissed. No way they would have found me. Jean's like, exactly. And they're not the only ones looking for you. Logan says, you never have to look too hard to find me, Jeannie. I'm always here for you. Jean answers, I'm not talking about me. I'm sensing something. As she gave him a heads up of what's going on. And which is now his, again, one of the characters I did bring up, his protege, his Padawan, his trainee, one of his favorite kids, Kitty Pryde, Shadow Cat. That busts his balls now as she arrives on the island. But she busts his balls just good enough. And this dude trained her how to protect herself. And you know they love each other. And it's cool because she's like, Wolverine, are you seriously fucking laughing and playing with kids? Like, what the fuck's going on here? And she yanks him. She goes talk to him. And she's like, as they get away from everyone, she knows he's a hard ass, but she knows he cares about her. Like, you know, he trained me. Like, we love each other. So it's great. Again, Padawan, trainee type of deal. And she's like, honestly, I haven't seen you like that in a long time. I'm happy you're playing with these kids. Like, you're happy, dude. And it's beautiful. So now they're happy. If they're happy. Sorry, guys. So they go onto her ship and two best friends. She's like, Wolverine or Logan, I'm happy you're happy. As he cuts through the bullshit because he knows her. So what's the trouble, Kitty? As she finally vents and talks to him about what is and has been going on. So shipments are getting stolen from her ship or just around the world that are extremely essential for mutants right now. And their sovereignty and their way of life on the island, sovereign island of Krakoa, their home now. As we meet, panel jumps, page jumps, we meet an agent Bannister is now on this case. We don't know if he's FBI or CIA yet, but as Wolverine now goes to work on his lead as well. So we see parallels to these two characters, one guy trying to figure out what the fuck's going on and Wolverine trying, they're on the same case essentially. Logan says, pull out a call to X-Force. I want to strike him on the ground as soon as possible. Every gate we've got in Russia is surrounded by a brigade. We'll need gateway for transport. So he's setting up his plan in motion. in motion. And now we get an interesting twist to everything. We see Agent Bannister on his case and what he's working so hard for. And he knows, like, okay, something's going on. And even though he's on the job and the FBI, or I guess CIA, their version of the CIA, we get his twist. And we see a panel now of him with his sick daughter. And even with these pages and panels, we see some sort of scar on the side of his head, side of his temple. And it almost looks like a bullet hole scar. As he leaves now, the agent that he's there with walks into the room. He bells on her to go see his daughter finally. Hi, Daddy. Hey there, Pumpkin. Did you get your work done, Dad? Huh? Yeah, kind of. Or not really. She says, what bad guys are you trying to stop this time? Well, you know you're on the wait list for those special drugs. The antid body pedals. The ones that will make you better. Yep. Well, some people are stealing them and using them for other stuff. Bad stuff. And that's making your daddy very mad. So he's on this weird personal vendetta. You turn the page. It now starts again. 3 days ago now. Russia. We see Wolverine lead the team and finally arrive to their destination with a look at somewhat of a cult. And they enter this cave that almost looks like a symbol of an X on their faces. And they are honestly, in a weird way, worshiping mutants as a higher power. And we see like them say it's a tilted representation of the cross. So these X-Men, we need these people, these mutants. As we see exactly how twisted these people are now, that makes them almost rabid. They pull out these vials, and each of these vials contains this like green substance, and it happens to be the pollen drug that now, once each of these members take it, hundreds of them, it makes their eyes turn dark green, light up. It is time to drink the blood from the vine. They believe the blood will bind with their DNA somehow and make them something more. Pretty much a human mutant hybrid is what it is. So now as they get attacked, and again, hundreds of them go after these X-Men, they go to work, and Wolverine's first inclination is, hurt them, but don't fucking kill them. Like, so it's just dope. And they're all going to work. And after a certain small fight, each body, each occultist now starts burning up, getting set on fire, burning up into flames. Till Jean finally figures it out that it's not any of their own team doing it, but it's more of the effects of this pollen drug or the serum they're taking. The book now jumps again to 1 day ago, Moscow. Wolverine walks into a joint. The guns won't do you much good, so don't bother, really. If I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already. I'm just here to ask some friendly questions. Long as you answer them, I won't kill you. Not today, anyway. And he continues on. It hasn't stopped me from figuring it out. You sold him and his loonies some bad dope with pollen cut into it. And Wolverine just pops two claws now. And he goes for the jugular of this man. Like, let's talk while you still can or while you still got a throat. And it's just really cool. Where did you get the flowers? The man answers at first from her. Her who? The pale girl. And where he tells Wolverine more of the story and what they've gone through at this flower cartel. So this woman, this pale girl, goes after them. She's like, I'll give you access to the pollen, but you're going to buy it from me. You're going to sell it. I'm going to keep 80% of it, and that's how it's going to work. These guys got greedy, and this is what he tells Wolverine. We got greedy because the deal was fucked up, so we decided to start our own batch, create our own flower, synthesize these drugs, and mix it. And that's exactly what they did. And he tells him this. And then we see this guy take off his glasses, and then it's like, you don't know what she can do. Like, she made me do this to my eye, like burn my eyeball out. So it's just interesting. We kind of see how fucked up the situation with this pollen has gotten and the effects it has as well. Now jumps again, earlier today, the point, Krakoa, along with a beautiful and nicely done side-by-side panel now. So Wolverine at work and this doctor, or Mr. Bannister now, of the CIA's headquarters, Langley, Virginia. So it's really cool because it's literally a side-by-side panel, and it's almost like they're finishing each other's sentences. And I just love it. So Beast on the left side. We're tracking the news feeds. News, police, social media, the dark web. More people are talking about it than actually using it. Jumps to Bannister's case. But people are dying, man, from the synthetic knockoffs. Yeah, but more so from the flower cartel. Taking over or taking down any competition. Jumps back now to Beast again. There appears to be a new drug war brewing. Wolverine answers, and where to blame? Jumps back to Bannister's pages. The muties control everything, so why not the black market too? Only one way to find out for sure if it's them. We pose as buyers. Instead of meeting, go directly to the flower cartel. The title jumps now once again, where we see somewhere now in Alaska. And it jumps back to what's going on, how the comic started. Wolverine's inner monologue goes off. So it's pretty much just him thinking this to himself. I've forgotten so much, so many times. My skull's always been a haunted house of locked rooms and broken mirrors and cobwebbed hallways. But here's something I'll never forget, not as long as I live. I've done terrible things. People should stay away from me. I don't have family. I shouldn't have friends. I'm not safe. My brain won't start seething with questions. What have I done? Why did I come here? It was to find something. It was to meet someone. Her, as we see in the background, the pale girl. It was you. You made me do it. As he starts wigging out, but now we see Bannister's crew finally arrives. They're all holding guns. Made you do what? What are you doing, man? Who the hell are you? And we see, again, this look of sadness and just a defeated Wolverine look on his face answers, I've been wondering the same thing. So, the story is dope. It's beautiful. And because it's number one, it's an extended issue. So, there are two stories in this one. This next story is interesting as well. This one's called Catacombs. Benjamin Percy writes this one as well. Victor Bogdanovic is the artist, and Matthew Wilson is the colorist. I gotta say, dude, this artist is dope. The spreads are dope. Just fucking sick, killer, and gorgeous. Almost reminds me of a Greg Capullo. If you guys don't know who Greg Capullo is, however you guys are listening, pull up Greg Capullo Spider-Man. Pull up Greg Capullo Spawn. Pull up Greg Capullo Batman and Greg Capullo Nightwing, like those characters. He's a dope, again, one of my favorite artists as well. Starts off in Krakoa, and again, in her monologue, Wolverine is on this weird hunt. The island's always changing. A canyon seals closed. A river gushes out of the ground. A rocky peak spikes up overnight. Some think of Krakoa as a safe haven. That's the kind of thinking that gets people killed. If this place ain't giving me a reason to trust the ground beneath my feet, then I'm going to treat it like a series of obstacles and threats. One big danger room. A testing ground that's constantly evolving, reprogramming itself. The gash of my foot becomes a sudden garden. And as this inner monologue is going on, this is exactly what's happening. You see pages and panels of the way this island is reacting to him. A valley bulges into a hill. Same goes for the mutants who call this place home. Enemies are suddenly allies as he's on this run. But in one certain page panel, we see Magneto talking to Jean Grey, Phoenix. Someone was trying to end the world, is now trying to save it. Someone you were trying to kill or avoid getting killed by is now a neighbor as he's still running through the forest. And we see Apocalypse now. We're all in this together, they say. We've all changed, they say. I ain't so sure about that. Now, as we see him running, we see someone who's done terrible things and moved past them. And it's interesting. I suppose I gotta trust the same is possible for everybody else. Or not. As he's running, he finally stops. He arrives to this Krakoan gateway. As we see, like, this look on his face, like, he already knew there was a threat. And Omega Red pops out. Beat the fuck up. He's an old classic villain of Wolverine's, and it's really interesting. But we see him fucked up as he walks through. I understand that you're offering amnesty. Sneak, sneak. Pops his claws. You got 3 seconds to turn around and vanish yourself back through that gate. Omega Red answers, I thought we were brothers now. And the way he answers, you can tell he's weak. I thought that's how this little dream of the professors works. Two. Or isn't there room in the dream for a nightmare like me? 3. As Wolverine now just lunges at him and goes for the kill. And it's dope. He's stopped in midair as Omega Red kind of busts out his tendrils in defense. But doesn't make much of a move besides that. And we see one of the guys stop him. Please excuse the inhospitable reception, Omega Red. You are, of course, welcome here in Krakoa. Wolverine answers, Magneto, my job is to protect this place. Let me. And this dialogue between these two characters, I love. So this is why I knew it was going to be a long review. As keen as your senses might be, Wolverine, you're sometimes quite blind. Omega Red might be covered with blood, but much of it is his own. As we see now, Omega Red finally pass out from whatever has just, whatever beat him up, whatever he's been through. Magneto, still holding Wolverine, you wish to do your job? Then tell me what kind of mess is waiting for us on the other side of that gate. As he kind of uses his powers to nudge and throw him through this portal. And it's interesting just to see, like, Magneto have this role. So we see Wolverine's now. Where he lands, arms grab at Wolverine. You're like him. As he answers, no, I'm nothing like him. But as he dies in my arms, I can't help but admit he's right. I got a million reasons to hate Omega Red, but there's one thing that stings worse than the rest. He reminds me of my own worst self. As the scene now jumps to Krakoa again, Magneto and Dr. Reyes, one of the other mutants, diagnosing and trying to help out, figure out exactly what happened to Omega Red as Wolverine finally gets back. And again, this dialogue, it gets even better. Wolverine, you can't kill someone like that. He's sick down to the marrow. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't heal somebody like that. He's sick down to the marrow. As Magneto answers, we always knew we'd run into some complications, offering amnesty to all. But Omega Red is a mutant brother. And I just love these next pages. Nothing but dialogue, and I love dialogue. Wolverine replies, the rules ain't in stone. Your quiet counsel is a living constitution. The professor would, Magneto, interrupts him. Charles is off on one of his diplomatic tours. Maybe you should consider his example an offer. And offer some niceties and concessions of your own. Wolverine answers, this guy's different. 100% grade A psycho. As Magneto calmly answers, there are those who would say the same of us both. Wolverine, there are kids on the island, for Christ's sake, what if he... Magneto, if something happens, and that's a big if, then he will be punished accordingly. Rest assured, resurrection will be available, if any become his prey. Wolverine gets pissed off. Resurrection's irrelevant. Immortality don't erase trauma. I know better than anyone. I'm supposed to keep us safe, and I promise you, nobody is safe. And I love the writing, because more explicitives. This fucking freak in our ranks. And Magneto, still calm. This is not an island. It is a nation. And X-Force is not a militia. It is our CIA. And I'm sure you, Wolverine, are very much aware of the crimes, coups, misdeeds, and human rights violations the CIA is responsible for. The bloodthirsty dictators empowered because they appeased American interests, the Nazi scientists they brought home and employed, not to mention the privacy violations, the blackmailing, the drug-induced mind control. Which brings me to you. Your job as part of X-Force is to neutralize the problem, as Wolverine kind of questions it now. And it's just like this Wolverine having this to deal with one of his hated rivals, and the island of Krakoa is this island mutant safe haven. And they've been getting a lot of shit from it, from a lot of organizations from around the world. So it's dope. That's the title. If you guys liked it, it was a dope fucking story. I'm going to toss up some pictures of behind the scenes next week. But yeah, sure, the podcast more than anything. I knew I was going to go long. Sorry about that, guys. But I did and do hope you guys enjoyed this. Didn't want to spoil too much, but pick it up. Find it. It's dope. It's worth checking out. I love Wolverine. I love Gambit. I love those classic characters. So yeah. All right. I'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Peace out.